"'Can't understand you. How can you think of carrying such a sum about with you? Every farthing we possess. Lord knows it cost us trouble enough to earn.'
"'Pooh,' he said. "'No one would guess that it is here, in my pocketbook.'
"'Yes, yes,' she grumbled. "'That young manservant whom we discharged last week knew all about it, didn't he, Gabriel?'
"'Yes, aunt,' said the youth, standing beside her.
Nicholas Dugrival, his wife and his nephew Gabriel, were well-known figures at the race meetings, where the regular frequenters saw them almost every day. Dugrival, a big, fat, red-faced man, who looked as if he knew how to enjoy life, his wife, also built on heavy lines, with a coarse, vulgar face and always dressed in a plum-colored silk, much the worse for wear, the nephew, quite young, slender, with pale features, dark eyes, and fair and rather curly hair. As a rule, the couple remained seated throughout the afternoon. It was Gabriel who betted for his uncle, watching the horses in the paddock, picking up tips to right and left among the jockeys and stable lads, running backward and forward between the stands and the Perry Mutual. Luck had favored them that day, for three times Dugrival's neighbors saw the young man come back and hand him money. The fifth race was just finishing. Dugrival lit a cigar. At that moment, a gentleman in a tight-fitting brown suit, with a face ending in a peaked gray beard, came up to him and asked in a confidential whisper, "Does this happen to belong to you, sir?" And he displayed a gold watch and chain. Dugrival gave a start.
"Why, yes, it's mine! Look, here are my initials, N.G., Nicholas Dugrival."
And he at once, with a movement of terror, clapped his hand to his jacket pocket. The note case was still there.
"Ah," he said, greatly relieved, "that's a piece of luck. But all the same, how on earth was it done? Do you know the scoundrel?"
"Yes, we've got him locked up. Pray come with me and we'll soon look into the matter."
"Whom have I the honour?"
"Monsieur de Longle, detective inspector. I have sent to let Monsieur Marquen, the magistrate, know."
Nicholas Dugrival went out with the inspector, and the two of them started for the commissary's office, some distance behind the grandstand. They were within 50 yards of it when the inspector was accosted by a man who said to him hurriedly,
"The fellow with the watch is blabbed. We are on the track of the whole gang. Monsieur Marquen wants you to wait for him at the Parry Mutual and to keep a lookout near the fourth booth."
There was a crowd outside the betting booths, and Inspector de Longle muttered, "It's an absurd arrangement. Whom am I to look out for? That's just like Monsieur Marquen." He pushed aside a group of people who were crowding too close upon him. "By Jove, one has to use one's elbows here and keep a tight hold on one's purse. That's the way you got your watch pinched, Monsieur Dugrival."
"I can't understand."
"Oh, if you knew how those gentry go to work. One never guesses what they're up to next. One of them treads on your foot, another gives you a poke in the eye with a stick, and a third picks your pocket before you know where you are. I've been had that way myself."
He stopped, and then continued angrily,
"But bother it! What's the use of hanging about here? What a mob! It's unbearable! Ah, there's Monsieur Marquen making signs to us. One moment, please, and be sure to wait for me here."
He shouldered his way through the crowd. Nicholas Dugrival followed him for a moment with his eyes. Once the inspector was out of sight, he stood a little to one side to avoid being hustled. A few minutes passed. The sixth race was about to start, when Dugrival saw his wife and nephew looking for him. He explained to them that Inspector de Longle was arranging matters with the magistrate.
"Have you your money still?" asked his wife.
"Why, of course I have," he replied. "The inspector and I took good care, I assure you, not to let the crowd jostle us."
He felt his jacket, gave a stifled cry, thrust his hand into his pocket, and began to stammer inarticulate syllables, while Madame Dugrival gasped in dismay.
"What is it? What's the matter?"
"Stolen," he moaned. "The pocketbook. The 50 notes.
"It's not true," she screamed. "It's not true."
"Yes. The inspector, a common sharper. He's the man."
She uttered absolute yells.
"Thief! Thief! Stop thief! My husband's been robbed! 50,000 francs! We are ruined!"